B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
10 seconds left. Hamilton, fans on at the neutral zone. 5. Out at center ice, Corrali. Couldn't get much on the wrister. Out at center ice it comes. The horn is going to sound. Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. This game is final. The Boston Bruins have taken a stranglehold on the Eastern Conference final. They come into Carolina, win a 2-1 over the Hurricanes. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series. They've won 6 consecutive games in the playoffs for the first time since 1978. And for the first time all year, Carolina has dropped a playoff game on home ice.
And again, and thank the Boston Celtics for ruining our spring. You had a chance with just an absurd, absurd grand slam. And I don't think the chances were great that the Celtics were going to beat the Warriors. I don't. Even if the Celtics were fully functional. But let me take it all back. If Kevin Durant doesn't come back, and the Celtics reach their talent ceiling, that's a series. I'm sorry.
Did you watch that last night a bit? I don't know if it's going to matter without Durant there.
I said it's a series.
Yeah.
Okay? The Warriors ultimately still might be the team. But we go into deep June with a chance to have the Grand Slam.
Oh, for sure.
Okay? So if it comes up short, it comes up short. It should not be ending the first week of May with the Celtics and that putrid display that they put on.
I mean, it's such a great point with Durant down. They could have won this thing.
They could have at least, again, you take it into deep June. You take it into the NBA Finals, and that's a deep series, I think, without Durant. And all because, and what the most disgusting part is, that it's not because the Celtics were hurt. It's not because they didn't have talent. It's because they were all bitching at each other over whose team it was. Oh, that is so gross. I can't even describe it, how bad that is on the Celtics. And Wick Grosbeck sort of acknowledged it, you know, He said he was, what were the terms that he used?
We're all annoyed and upset and disappointed.
Thank you. Annoyed, upset, and disappointed. Which for Wick, that's harsh commentary. He doesn't even give you annoyed, upset, or disappointed, never mind all three in a sandwich.
I mean, hell, after game 4 of the Bucks series, Brad Stevens was telling us about everything that went right and how they were looking forward to coming back from 3-1. Like, you know, for the Celtics I thought for him to acknowledge that part of it, that A, they were a mess. You know, there were chemistry problems. They didn't meet their potential. He acknowledged all those things, whether or not he used the words. Like, they're not blind to it.
One of the hardest teams to love.
Okay, so it was a hard team to love. And he loves his teams, loves them. Cradles them to his bosom when he goes to bed at night. In his green footy Celtics pajamas, he loves them. For him to admit that this team was less than lovable, and they were deplorable to the rest of us, but for him to say less than lovable is, you know, an admission for him.
Oh, yeah, ugly baby, right? Like, that's him calling his baby ugly, really. And like, as you say it, talking about the Grand Slam, I mean, if they were still in it, which team left would have the most talent?
Oh, the Celtics!
Assuming Durant's out.
Yeah, and the Bruins would have had the benefit of this great road opening for them. It would have been a little more lucky on them, but the Celtics... Celtics are a better team. They got more high-end talent. That's not even debatable. To me, it's not even debatable.
I mean, what a failure. Really, what a failure.
And you juxtapose it right now with that game last night, what Chris Wagner did, literally sacrificing himself and his body. And these guys are out in 5 games because they're a bunch of bitches.
It's my team. No, it's my team. It's my team. It's my team. I want more minutes. Why is he getting minutes? I don't know why he's getting minutes. I should have minutes.
Chris Wagner probably has a broken arm, done for the playoffs, putting himself on the line, out. That's what Boston fans want. That's what we've grown accustomed to. Instead, it's the Real Housewives over here. I thought it was supposed to be my team. I didn't like the fact that you got to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals without me. I'm not showing up because I had to get a nose job and a new purse. Oh, detestable.
Detestable.
Blow the whole thing up.
Seriously, yeah, though. And never mind Chris Wagner. That speaks to the physical toughness of hockey players, which is not even a fair argument. I just think the resiliency of the Bruins, and it really does start from the net out. When your goalie is frustrating the other team and you believe in your goalie, it's easier to be resilient. So I think it has started with Rask. But for the Bruins to withstand that first 10 minutes, never mind the first period, thanks to Rask, but not just withstand that, but then withstand a bad goal. After all the insane of how good Rask has been to let up that goal.
That thing was bad.
Oh, my God. I just don't know how it went in. And so now the building's up. Now you've woken Carolina up. Now they've broken the dam. At that point, what do you do? And the Bruins controlled the game from there on forward. Carolina did not have many dangerous chances after that. And so that's the thing that impresses me almost more than the first 10 minutes. First 10 minutes, they got a little lucky, too. I mean, Teravainen misses the open net. Williams hit a crossbar. Carolina has the most putrid 4-on-3, 5-on-3 power play I've seen. They got a little, Carolina was complicit in it. I think after the Dahan goal made it 2-1, that was just you taking control of the game. That's resilient. That's overcoming adversity. As soon as the Celtics got punched in the mouth by anyone,
it was over.
They turtled all season long.
They caved. Yeah, that's where competitively the two teams are so different, and that's really where you can compare them. The Bruins under duress keep their legs somehow, keep their senses somehow, keep their balance. They let you hit them, and then after the storm has subsided, they hit back. Right? The Celtics, they let you hit them, and then they fall down and don't get up.
So you're going to the Cup Finals. Just a matter of when.
Isn't that unbelievable? It's
tomorrow night, Saturday. Just don't make us nervous. Be done with them.
Clean it up.
Topple over these bums.
And don't do anything stupid. They get someone suspended or hurt.
Right. Just go win the game.
And don't crash into the glass so that it falls on you and injures a player. Like what happened the last time you had a 3-0 lead in a playoff series.
Is that how Krejci
got hurt?
Against
the team.
No, Krejci got lit up in the middle of the ice.
Oh, he got absolutely drilled.
Michael Richards? Who was, I can't remember who it was. Someone on the Flyers lit him up in the middle of the ice. He broke his wrist or whatever.
Yeah, which honestly is the kind of hit you don't even see anymore.
I thought
the glass fell on Krejci during that Flyers series.
No, it wasn't bad. The glass did hit someone in the head during that postseason. I remember that.
But anyway, okay. So anyway, the only bad news is you might have 11 days. Like, talk about losing momentum. We can only talk about Joe Thornton for so long. If they wrap it up tomorrow and they don't open the Cup Finals till the 27th, which is possible if that San Jose series goes 6-7 games, or even just 6, I think that's probably what it's going to be. That's 11 days.
It's really only a week of shows.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
It's next week, it's 5 shows.
You're right. It's a week of shows.
It's a week of shows.
That's how you should think about it.
We can milk that sucker.
And Maz, make no mistake, St. Louis would be a good final. St. Louis is a legit team. They're a good team. It's not like these guys. They have high-end talent up front. They've got really great talent in back. They've got the hottest young goalie this side of Tuukka Rask over there in net. It's the only thing that I would hate about St. Louis is having to listen to the olds talk about Bobby Orr in 1970. That's the only thing that we won't even allow.
It's just, I don't know. It's St. Louis.
San Jose would be balls.
Oh, San Jose would be awesome.
But you know what it should be? And I booked my flight for it.
The other thing is there's a little bit of a grudge there with San Jose. But Thornton's part of it, but also those two games this year.
Great.
They were bloodbaths. The one here with that, all that Evander Kane stuff, the one out there was 6-5. If I remember right, the Bruins were up 5-2 and blew the lead. Like, it was a great game to watch.
Chara tuning up Evander Kane?
Yes. Yeah.
If the Celtics weren't such weak-minded, choking dogs, do you know that the weekend of May 31st to June 3rd, would have been, and I'd mapped this all out, and I got my flights. I even sent emails to our sales department to sell us, to send us out there, all of it. We still might go somewhere if the Bruins when the Bruins make the final, we'll probably go somewhere. But Boston, listen to this. This is what this would have been based on scheduling of the past years.
Felger and Maz go to Frisco, the sequel.
NBA Finals Game 1, Boston at Warriors on May 30th. Bruins at Sharks Game 3, Saturday, June 1st. Celtics at Warriors Sunday night, May 2nd. Bruins at Sharks Monday night, June 3rd. you would have had Bruins, Celtics, four games in 5 nights in the Bay Area. We would have taken over that town and taken a giant dump on the Bay Area like you read about.
Not that they'd be able to tell what's already on the streets of that town.
We would have dominated filthy Frisco between San Jose. It would have been Bruins-San Jose games 3 and 4, Celtics-Warriors game 1 and 2, San Jose-Oakland, Bay Area, 4 games, 5 nights. You imagine that?
On West Coast time, which means we'd be done working at like 8 o'clock.
And the freaking Celtics were too busy bitching about whose team it was.
Blame Kyrie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy, could you imagine Murray like getting out at 8:30? That's scary right there. Like weekend at Bernie's.
In a legal state as well.
It's legal here.
Doesn't even need... Well, that's true, but when we travel, you still need to pull out the Arizona iced tea stuff. Here's caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. We'll score a pair of tickets to WWE SmackDown Live, returning to the Dunkin' Donuts Center in Providence May 21st. Don't miss all of your favorite SmackDown superstars. Tickets still available at Ticketmaster.com. Also, don't forget to listen to Jimmy Stewart's Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast, the highly rated Inside the Ropes podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com and the app. To your phones, I promise, right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can we assume that the team wants Kyrie back?
I'm just not going to comment about anybody on the roster in that. We've got 15 guys, and we're going to evaluate all of them, and I'm not going to comment on one person and then not comment on another because it's going to send a negative or positive signal. Just don't want to do it.
All right, team still tiptoeing around Kyrie Irving, I think. Back to your phones, as promised. Eric and Newton, is the NBA draft lottery fixed like these guys think? Eric!
Hey, guys. The NBA gets caught rigging the lottery. The lost money in revenue, the lost money in jersey sales, ticket sales, Bud Light sales. And then who are they going to get to rig the lottery? They're going to have to get the company that makes the machine rig the lottery. They can't rig the lottery. What, are they going to stick Isaiah Thomas in there and have him hand the balls up? I want to hear you guys break down the risk versus reward of them rigging the lottery.
Okay, so and is that just them? The NBA, if they're rigging the lottery, they have trouble, but they don't have massive trouble. If Ernst & Young gets caught in a massive fraud scheme, the business is over. The NBA will go on if they have a scandal or not. It'll hurt them, but it will go on. They went on after Donaghy. Life will go on in the NBA. If Ernst & Young gets caught, I mean, I can't be having a serious conversation about this. If Ernst & Young gets caught dinking with that machine, they're done as a multi-billion dollar, multinational, huge, massive consulting, security, accounting firm. They're done.
Yeah, they could be. And us talking about it and the way you're talking to us, down to us, like we're a couple of kooks.
I don't mean to be down to you. I'm just...
But no, I understand.
You can talk down to me. It's fine. What makes you think... How do we know that Ernst & Young knows?
So how does the NBA do it without Ernst & Young?
I don't know.
Ernst & Young is in charge of the whole thing.
I don't have an explanation for it.
You sure about that?
They handed over to Ernst & Young. That's the whole point of hiring that firm.
Mm-hmm. And as I said before, the NFL handed over the investigation for Deflategate to Ted Wells. Do you think we get the whole story on that one?
No, you have it wrong. Wells did a good job. Wells was fine. I stand by that. Wells was fine. It was that scientific firm had a few issues. That I will acknowledge. The same group that told us the smoking was okay. What was their name? I can't remember their name.
API? No.
No. That was a subsequent consulting firm that piled on later on and confirmed the findings. I'm talking about the actual firm they used in the report. I mean, you know who's going to know this. Mike, what was the name of that scientific firm?
Exponent.
Yes, very good.
So again, tinfoil hat time. All right, Mike, is the NBA lottery fixed?
Oh my God, get out the Reynolds wrap. Here we go. First of all, we know the games are fixed. All you need to do is watch that 2002 conference finals where Kobe elbows Mike Bibby in the face.
No, I agree with. And no, so Mike, the referee assignments, I think they manage that. That I'm with you.
Because like you could have Don Kolarski balls deep in a Dunkin' Dozen, and he could have two chocolate glazed over his eyes like a raccoon, and he's not going to miss that call. Okay. The draft though, if you look at the draft, all you have to do is follow LeBron. He's a human rabbit's foot. He leaves Cleveland. What happens? Cleveland wins their first lottery, not with their pick at the top of the draft, but with someone else's pick in the middle, so they pick 1 and 4. Then they win it again. Then the team the league owns wins the lottery, so they get Anthony Davis while they're selling the Hornets. Not the Hornets. Was it the Hornets or the Pelicans at the time? I forget. But so the team the league owns, and then LeBron's team, LeBron's future destination, wins again. So while LeBron's in Miami winning not one, not two, only two, they seed the Cleveland team. And then when he's in Cleveland, what happens? What L.A. starts to win. L.A. won three straight. They came in second three times. Okay? Then they didn't have a pick. And then LeBron doesn't get Anthony Davis.
Mike, how do they do it?
How do they do it? Yeah. I don't know. I think they fix everything, Mike. You can fix elections.
Bingo.
You can fix elections. You can fix this. I mean, honestly, it's not the frozen envelope anymore. They got to pay Ernst & Young a little more. And you know what? Maybe if they get caught, people will be like, "Wow, Ernst & Young has been ringing this for so long, and we've only found out about it now." I want to procure their services for our state's lottery because there's another thing that's fixed.
Yes, Jimmy Stewart.
So I got a text from an NBA friend who listens to the program. He said, "Google Ernst & Young caught." So I did. Headline, Ernst & Young arrested for obstruction charges. Ernst & Young to pay fine for tax avoidance. And it goes on and on. Ernst & Young fined $10 million over auditing. So this seems like a crooked company.
I got another good one, too. This guy sent me a portion of an article in the 2008 financial collapse. After the fall of Lehman Brothers brought economies to their knees in 2008, it was apparent that Blank's audits of that bank had all been but worthless. Ernst & Young! That's who was doing the audits. They're as crooked as anybody else.
Of course they are. Like, again, I just tell you, there's so many ways to do this, either with Ernst & Young being complicit or not. They could say to Ernst & Young, run the numbers, you know, run the lottery, you guys do it all on the level, and then you tell us, and we'll take it from there.
But then, no, it doesn't work that way. They're all sitting in the room watching the ping pong balls come up.
Uh-huh.
What, so you think they faked that thing like if someone faked the moon landing? You think they faked that scene there where Alvin Gentry is swearing his face off and running around high-fiving people? You think that was a fake?
I didn't say fake the moon landing. I didn't say anything about faking the moon landing.
So you're saying that the scene in the room there is faked?
No. The executives of the team aren't in on it.
Of course.
I'm telling you, the league, I'm not talking about, no, the teams aren't in on it. I'm telling you, there's somebody up above in the league. Like David Stern used to do, pulling the puppet strings and making sure things are engineered a certain way. I believe that there is a certain amount of WWE in the NBA. I believe that.
Okay. We asked Wick Grosbeck himself. Does he feel this is, Wick, how do you feel about Tony Maz's stance?
It's complete nonsense. It's complete clickbait. It's Maz saying, listen to me, I want to go viral. You know, and I love you, Maz, but it's just complete nonsense.
Okay, but do you understand? There are a large portion of your fans, NBA fans, maybe the majority of NBA fans, Wick, who don't think it's on the up and up. So whether it is or not, put that to the side.
It's nowhere near a majority. I mean, I have no problem going back and forth, and I think it's all in good fun, and it's a game after all, but we all take it seriously. But I bet you if you really, I mean, I think we had a bad referee a decade ago and went to jail, and that's serious stuff. But the lottery being rigged they wouldn't have given the guy to a small market. They would have given it to New York or L.A., whatever. I just don't think it's even close, and I think it's probably 4% of people think that.
Okay, he thinks 4% of you think it's rigged.
I think it's 65%.
Stuart, poll results, please.
5,468 votes. 65% of voters think the NBA lottery is fixed.
Two out of every three voting Americans believe that the NBA lottery is rigged. And listen, I know I'm
clickbait. It's Maz saying, listen to me, I want to go viral.
Trust me, I don't want to go viral. I mean, I'll take it if it happens. It would be a nice little development. But that's not what I'm saying here. And I know I'm chuckling about it, but believe me when I tell you, I think there's some WWE in the NBA.
Maz is serious.
Yeah, and I am too. And this is here's more of why I'm serious. I'm reading from Mark Stein, covering the NBA since 1994, writes for the New York Times. The Pelicans, I'm told, have sold in the neighborhood of 3,000 season ticket packages for next season in the wake of winning last night's NBA lottery and the chance to draft Zion Williamson. All the big market teams and presumed tankers took a serious tumble in this unforgiving new lottery system. And the two teams most in need of a financial boost, New Orleans and Memphis, scored the top two picks. How about that? Huh. The two teams that needed a financial boost, they're the ones that got those picks. How does that happen? Huh. Now, I don't know. I don't know the logistics.
Just dumb luck, Murray.
But it just did. Hmm.
Let's grab Dan in the casino. He joins us now. Your thoughts. Is the NBA draft...
Stein knows. He knows it's fixed.
Is the NBA draft lottery fixed, Dan?
100%. It's been fixed for years. I mean, physically look at it, Mike. What do the Pelicans get by getting the number one pick? What happens when they get the number one pick?
You answer it for me.
Well, okay. Let's take a look at what happened with Kevin Durant. Well, the Seattle Supersonics got Kevin Durant, had a number two overall superstar franchise player, and then moved a year later. So what happens is the Pelicans now get to move their franchise. They still get to trade Anthony Davis. In fact, it becomes all the more likely that you get to trade Anthony Davis. The fans there aren't revolting and losing their minds over losing their franchise player, and they're not going to lose the entire franchise. Now, and the NBA made them play Anthony Davis all year long, so this is a nice little repayment. Meanwhile,
okay, hey, but Dan, didn't Seattle lose the lottery? They drafted second.
Yeah, in a two-player franchise draft with Greg Oden and Kevin Durant, how can you go wrong?
Okay, how do they fix it?
It's super easy. That company has been caught numerous times for fraud. As Jimmy said, just Google it. I mean, what do you want to do? They could put magnets in the ping pong balls. Who cares? It's easy. It's not that difficult to do.
Magnets in the ping pong balls?
Sure.
Easy?
Yeah.
Magnetize the ping pong balls.
We got self-driving cars out there. You tell me you can't magnetize a ping pong ball?
People are serious.
Yeah, I'm serious, yeah.
Who knows? But there's got to be some sort of technology or something that there is some way that they can rig this.
I'm surprised at you.
Jimmy Stewart?
I think they took air out of the ping pong ball.
Get Exponent or Ernst & Young on the case. They'll figure it out. Here's the update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And look at all that space for Carolina, and he shoots it back in between the net and Rask.
Slavin dusts it off. Wrister deflected. Rask to save. Rebound, Rask. What a stop. And then he stops a second opportunity from Niederreiter.
He's been dialed in since April 8th or 10th, whatever it is, since we started. He's been excellent. You know, he really hasn't had a poor night. He's had a couple that were, I'd say, above average, and the rest have been very good. Tonight was first period was excellent.
David Backus pounding on it, and Carolina Hurricanes pounding on Backus. Near circle, Nordstrom. Center's deflected. They score! Krys Wagner! Krejci left circle, Marchand pulls it to the slot. Backhand, they score! Marchand with a backhand shot. Oh, power play goal! 2-0 Bruins.
Falk goes across. Here's DeHaan. His shot scores! Calvin DeHaan finds a hole, finally, in Tuukka Rask. RC side, is sent out in front, and Stahl's deflection denied by Rask as he squeezed the right arm to the midsection so it wouldn't squirt through.
I felt good for many, many months.
Tuukka Rask gobbled up that last shot from Sebastian Aho. The Bruins now take a 3-0 lead in this series.
Come into the locker room after this win, and the hunger is definitely there, and no one's really that happy about the game because we know we haven't really done anything yet.
I mean, I think we just have such a special group here, and Chris Wagner selling out there and blocking a shot. I mean, there aren't big enough hugs for that guy right now. He's feeling it. What he did was so selfless, and I think that's just the kind of team that we have.
Good spot to be in, but far from being over. Well, obviously, we're happy with getting the win tonight, but again, we got to let it go. It's all about the next one.
Okay, Jimmy Stewart's look back at Game 3 last night in Carolina. Bruins on the cusp of the Stanley Cup Finals. One thing that didn't make the montage there, and we didn't even hit on earlier, just want your thoughts on it, the disallowed goal from Jake DeBrusk and the goaltender interference.
I didn't like the call. And again, I always look at it in the context of what do you want to see happen? And look, was there contact? Yep. But I also thought McElhinney was out of the paint. DeBrusk was, he was moving, trying to move in front of McElhinney and even away from McElhinney. It's not like he was going toward him. And to me, that goal should have been allowed. Yep. I was annoyed by that. You know, I mean, and I'm trying to be consistent because I felt like in the Toronto series, it was obviously the one with Matthews in Game 5, and I didn't want that goal disallowed. And in this case, I didn't want this goal disallowed. I didn't think it was egregious enough where they should have called interference.
McElhinney was not in the paint. He initiated the contact. And then, with DeBrusk, and then it was ultimately disallowed from when they showed it above, when they showed it on the side. With him not being in the paint, that's where it's like, well, I don't know how you can go back, or I don't know how you don't give them the goal. But more than anything else, it just shows that they don't know what the hell to call. There's an inconsistency with this call, and the guys that are supposed to be in control of these games, they can't logically explain what goalie interference is.
So I disagree with both of you.
You thought it was interference?
Blatantly. And I thought there was no chance of it being reviewed. Or reversed. Now, if you want to say he makes the call on the ice, bang, bang, he got steered into McElhinney, then we have a debate there. But once the ref on the ice waved it off, and then they go to the replay, and DeBrusk is climbing up the back of McElhinney, that wasn't coming back. It was never coming back.
Yeah, but he wasn't climbing up his back. He was in front of him.
It's a bad challenge. But it was just way too much contact, and the blue paint has nothing to do with it, Murray. Once a goalie's established position, whether he's in the paint or not, you're not allowed to run into him. I thought he ran into him. I just thought...
Yeah, but I've seen others where that's okay, mattered. So that's the thing. It's the inconsistency of this whole thing that drives me nuts. Now, you want to talk about...
But hold on. Of course it's inconsistent. It's going to be... It's a subjective call, like pass interference or one of these. Of course it's... There's no way for that to be consistent, and I'm not telling you it is consistent. So, like, that one, I mean, I hear fans cry about that all the time. Well, what about this one? What about that one? It's pass interference, the hits to the head, the goaltender interference, all that stuff is all subjective. So it's impossible to be consistent. I'm sorry.
But the one thing I do agree with you on, though, is the challenge. Because
never coming back.
He should have known. Like, you were going to get screwed there. You're probably going to need that timeout later. It was a tight game. Like, don't even bother.
I didn't have a huge problem with it. I thought it was worth a shot because, again, I looked at the play and I said, you know what? I could see that one coming back. I totally would. And the fact is, and they pointed this out during the broadcast.
Toronto looked at it for like 7 seconds before they reversed it. It was never coming back.
No, it was a little longer than that.
It was so quick.
It was a little longer than that. But nonetheless, I looked at it and said, and they pointed this out on the broadcast, and I thought it was a good point. You get timeouts, you get stoppages in play there because of the TV. So you'll get to all the time you need at the end of the game for that play, because it would have made it 3-1, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was a big spot. I thought it was worth it.
Oh, I thought it was never coming back. So, note here, programming note, off-air show, myself and the Dark Knight, Adam Jones.
Oh.
Me and Jonesy. Adam Jones.
Will it be grab ass or sport?
Well, I'm like required to do some grab ass because it's the internet, right? That's what you do on the internet. You grab each other's ass and fart around about pop culture and blah, 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 just chit-chat. So I feel compelled to do some chit-chat on that thing.
Well, maybe you guys can do the Dong Report or the Game of Jones.
All right.
Woo! You could tell him how to be a better dad. He's got that son of Jones. You know, he's got the young son of his. To give him dad tips.
Spawn of the devil.
Yeah.
So me and Jones.
Beelzebub Jones.
Me and Jones on the off-air show, Facebook Live.
You're right, I'm wrong.
6 p.m. sharp, Jonesy. 6 p.m. sharp. Back to your phones. Wayne in Grafton on the Bees. Go, Wayne.
I just love your co-host, Amonte. He's a real hockey guy. He looks like he just rolled off the couch, put on his jacket, and shows up. I enjoy watching you guys do that. And Krejci's stick work last night. That's quite a swing he has. Maybe you ought to teach that to Bradley. Now, Mike, you have to indulge me. Screw Joe Thornton, 1970 rematch with the Blues. Indulge an old man. Just think of it. I have movement in my shots over it, and that doesn't happen too often. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne, you were up 3-0. They were an expansion team. You were winning that series. That goal was not. It didn't matter. It's just so overrated, that goal. It's all because he flew through the air a certain way, and the guy took the picture. That's all that's about. If that was a tap-in on the side of the net, you wouldn't immortalize it. So, please, know it for what it is.
And the way people talk about it.
Great picture, though.
You grow up thinking it was overtime in Game 7.
It was overtime in Game 4, and they were an expansion team. They used to have all the original six on one side of the bracket and all the crappy expansion teams on the other. So that's why you face the Blues. That's why the Blues were in the final. If they had mixed all 12 together, the Blues would have even made the playoffs. Or I mean, I can't tell you that, but please stop with the Bobby Orr goal, please. And I want to hear that if that's the final. My God.
The Blues. Good God. The last thing I want to do is relive history. I'd rather make my own. Give them Bruins and Sharks. It'd be way better.
Ben in the car. Is the NBA draft lottery fixed?
Hey, guys. No, I don't think it is, but listening to you guys, you almost have me convinced. But I just got a quick question for Murray and Maz. How long do you think it's been fixed for? Because you haven't really elaborated on any details. Are they fixing the first pick, the third pick, the fifth pick? You know, I'd just like to hear from you guys real quick on that. And then I got another question, if you don't mind.
No, thanks for the call. We only have time for one.
Top four?
Yeah.
I mean, look, again.
There's been shenanigans going on for quite some time. Again, that year that Cleveland won it after LeBron, because they had to do Cleveland a solid when they had a 2% chance and they ended up with the number one pick. Oh, but that was on the up and up? Please, this has been going on for a while.
I mean, seriously, when there is that kind of pattern, and I'm not talking about the one that Mike from Woburn rattled off, but LeBron leaves Cleveland in the lurch. And they get the number one pick. Now Anthony Davis is on his way out of New Orleans, and they get the number one pick. And it, you know, and at a time where they're going to trade Davis and get something else on top of it, like we're going to give you a fresh start.
So they magnetize the ping pong balls.
I don't know what they do.
Maybe there's a laser printer in there.
Laser printer?
Who knows?
Maybe they rub them on their hair and create the electricity that way. I have no idea. I'm just telling you somehow, some way, the thing is monkeyed with.
Adam in Bridgewater. Hi, Adam.
Hey, you guys are so close. So close. The lottery is rigged, and here's why. It got everything to do with the suction air pressure versus the mass/volume/weight of the ball. 1, 2, 3, 4, like Matt says, right? Number one, ball is hollow, completely hollow. No, nothing inside. Number two, one drop of water, for example. Number three, two drops of water. Number four, three drops of water.
Okay. See what you've done?
You don't think that that's possible?
This is a serious program, Matt.
You don't think that's...
Not InfoWars. We're not... Is Alex Jones, is that his name?
Yeah, Alex Jones.
We have fun.
The NBA lottery is a false flag conspiracy.
So, like, we make fun of that. We engage a little bit to have a little laugh. Like, you're serious, though. The 1, 2, 3 drops of water?
Mike, I'm telling you that somehow, some way, they manage that lottery.
They freeze the balls.
They put Freon gas in them.
I'm telling you, they manage the lottery. I'm not telling you it's every year either. When there's a need, they manage the lottery. Murray, what was that story you saw? The two franchises in the league, in the most severe financial situation, are Memphis and New Orleans.
That is correct, Matt.
Oh wow, isn't that convenient, boy?
Balls were hot.
Phil, good timing.
Phil and Melrose, go.
Yeah, I don't know about hollow ping pong balls, but I interned with Ernst & Young for almost 2 years. And they're a $35 billion company. I worked in assurances. And trust me, if there's anyone who's going to do their best to help you with fixing a lottery, it's them. There's nothing objective about them whatsoever. They're not corrupt. They're just very good at their job.
Ah, there you go.
They're fixers.
I love that guy.
Seriously.
He had a good phone, too, didn't he?
You too. Excellent.
Call again. Oh, I love that voice.
Eric in Norwood, you know that goal was completely overrated, don't you?
The goal?
Yeah.
That goal was completely overrated.
Yes, completely overrated.
How is this, Matt?
No, it's Felger.
Oh, Felger, I'm a big fan, but you know what? How can you say that? I mean, to sit there and see that goal, that is an iconic photo of that goal. I know we were up 3-0
against an expansion team.
I know, but you know, to an expansion team, but so what? A good expansion team.
Oh, they were a good expansion team. They were a bunch of bums.
His tone changed when he found out it was you.
Yep, he thought it was you. Yeah.
He got nicer.
Well, what kind of a-hole take is this? It has to be Maz.
Oh, yeah, Felger. I like your stuff, Felger. But
let's preview the baseball reporters quickly. Chris Sale strikes out like 37 guys last night, is through the roof, and the bullpen blows it. It'll be a topic on the baseball reporters coming up at 6. But first, a preview with Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom.
Oh, what's up, guys? I'm so happy I got through. I knew there was a lot of NBA fake lottery crap going on, but real quick, I think I called last week and I talked about Workman.
Yeah.
Specifically, he gave a bomb then, too. That home run to Blackman could not be more telegraphed. I was watching that. I'm like, this thing's yad. Yad, yad, yad. So I know that you're not ready for, like, volume 12 of Tom's bitch fest of the bullpen, but my friggin' God, can we please have someone step up and actually not walk someone coming in and load the bases and give up these... I mean, Sale pitched the game of his life, for Christ's sake, and they can't hold the one-run lead. And I'm like, I watch these games, they're up 7-2, and they're bringing in Thornburg and these other jackasses, and I'm like, oh my God, like, no lead is ever safe. And the 3-2, like, he had 107 pitches, 17 strikeouts, boom, boom, boom. You know, he gave up the home run the last inning, whatever. But when you literally have no option in the bullpen, I just would have let Sale go out and pitch again, because in the end, if he gave up another one, they're going to lose anyway. Instead of giving Workman in his, I don't know, I feel like he walks two guys an inning every time he comes in. We need to figure that out.
Yeah, let me just stop you there.
I mean, they're short in the bullpen. And Workman actually didn't walk anybody last night, believe it or not. One of the few times this year where he's come in and actually didn't walk anybody, got hit. But that's a bad game to lose. You got your ace out there striking out 17. You're up 3-0 and you blow it.
That's the baseball reporters at 6. Final word comes your way next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire. The best prices and nobody. Great free services. Nobody wants beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. Okay, remember, nope. Me and Jones on the off-air show coming up in 3 minutes on Facebook Live. Me and the Dark Knight himself. Go, Murray.
Where Felger has to have forced fun, which he hates to do. And speaking of which, something that is fun, especially for Bruins fans right now, is to chant a certain thing. Mike hates it. So keep that in mind the next time you see him out on these streets.
We do have to get to your Stanley Cup-bound Boston Bruins.
Yup!
At least there's one team that fulfilled their potential and didn't leak it all away.
We want the cup!
Stop it.
We want
Stop
the
it.
Cup!
That makes me crazy. Every time I hear that, I want to move to a different city.
I was mocking them.
Dad hates fun.
I don't like that chant.
Yeah.
There's only one word for that chant, Murray, and I can't use it. I don't mean anything by it.
I want the cup.
I just don't want to hear you chanting that.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Oh, it makes my skin crawl.
Felger, let me do it this way then. We want the cup. We want the cup.
Bruins next. Oh, it's so brutal. Oh, it's cringeworthy.
Tell you, I think it's a great story, though, that these guys are, you know, have sort of rallied to make one more run at it.
Oh, I'm all for that.
It's a great story.
Love the story. Love the cup. The chant. Ugh.
Well, we want the cup, but we probably don't want the return of a certain Celtic who could be available this offseason.
Nick and Waltham. Go ahead, Nick.
Hi. So with Rozier on First Take yesterday, run his mouth, and Kyrie possibly gone to New York. How about the Celtics signing Rondo? He's a UFA this year.
Okay. God, no. God, no.
There's a lot of great point guards out there. I don't put him on the list, and that's not someone I want.
And you had a team with all kinds of internal issues this year, and you're going to bring that guy in? What? Like, again, you know, if you're going to bring in a guy who is a superstar and a pain in the ass, fine. Him? He can't even shoot.
Well, if it's going to get ripped apart, though, and Kyrie's going to leave, maybe some pieces get traded
off. It's not
off.
Getting ripped apart.
Well, still. If it's going to be like that, I'm for chaos. We'll need something to talk about, so I'd be for it.
No. I don't want Rondo. I'm done with Rondo.
Rondo. Would you stop? All right. Baseball reporters come. Or you got something else?
No, that's it.
All right. Baseball reporters, Maz. Some stuff to talk about last night.
Oh, a lot to talk about. Really, it was a great game for fans to talk about. So we'll dig in. Chris Sale, the bullpen, all of the above. We'll get into it right away here.
No commercials. Just the update. Then you get Maz. We're back at tomorrow at 2 for a clinching Game 4 preview. And more nonsense. Me and Jones on the off-air show right now. See you tomorrow, Maz.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.